Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
So who is the biggest celebrity you have ever had an encounter with? Who is the biggest celebrity you have ever had an encounter with? Donny Osmond. So you've actually had an encounter with Donny Osmond. Okay, so a little bit of context. What were you doing? Like, what were you like, oh, I can't believe it? Was it like that or... Okay, interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I think that was a quote that Pastor Chad even said, right? Has anybody else ever? Okay. Oh, nice. I'm guessing Trigger's not a gun. I'm hoping. Okay. Roy Rogers and Trigger. Okay, that's cool. And what were you like? Were you like? Like, what was your, oh, okay. Were you pretty giddy, though? Were you pretty, like, giddy? Yeah, okay. Okay, anybody else? Julie Andrews. Whoa, Julie Andrews, Sound of Music. We all grew up, well, not all of us. I'm aging myself. Okay, what was the encounter like? Were you pretty excited, or what's, you're pretty excited? Okay. Wow, okay. That's a lot. You're an extra in a movie. Cool. Well, you got to tell me about that, and maybe I'll watch it and look for you. So I remember my family, we took a holiday in October. I love hockey season. Hockey season is a time where, like, you know, I get excited because... I enjoy good hockey games. I enjoy watching. It's kind of a good getaway of thinking about all the other things that are going on in life. Sometimes I do watch too much, so I've got to be careful with that. But I remember one October, my family decided that we'd go on family holidays. And one thing my wife doesn't realize, she probably realizes now because I've shared this, is we try to do these trips, and I, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, I wonder what sports events and games are going on at the same time as holidays. Or I can say, you know, she'd be like, hey, like, how about we go in, like, late October? And I'll be like, oh, what about the beginning of October? Thinking in the back of my mind, hey, the Canucks will be, you know, the Canucks will be there or whatever. And I remember, like, in Anaheim, it was their home opener, and they do something really special. It's kind of a fan interaction where the fans get to interact with the players. And I know you might just be sitting here saying, oh, whatever, right? But that was something special that Noah and I got to take part in. And something that they would never do in Vancouver because they would have swarms of people. And so we showed up early to this event, and at this event, they would drop off their vehicles, and the players would kind of walk along this path, and there was kind of a fence. You know, they'd show up in their Porsches, their Lamborghinis, all their nice, all their nice vehicles. Well, we had like a rental car, and it was like a Hyundai something, and here they showed up, and everybody's you know, trying to get to the front, you know, trying to have. So they could have that personal interaction with them, even give them a high five or a fist pound or maybe do a selfie or sign an autograph or a jersey or something towards that line. And, you know, everybody's gawking over these players, even including me. I'm sorry. I was, I'm just kind of like a kid when I go to those kind of things, right? Here we are trying to get to the front, but unable to because it was so jam-packed. Accessibility to these players was so limited. This morning, I'm going to talk about two amazing encounters with Jesus. So let's start with our Jeopardy board. How many of you are enjoying this Jeopardy series? Okay, three of you. Awesome. Do you guys just want to walk out now? Oh, okay. Okay, good. Phew, don't do that, okay? Yeah, so let's go to our Jeopardy board. And your category is last resort. And we're in part one. So next week I'll be sharing part two in the last resort. And the answer is, I just spent my life savings. The answer is, I just spent my life savings. And no, I'm not preaching about Starbucks, okay, this morning. That was a joke. You guys don't get it? You know, we spend our life savings at Starbucks. Wow, rough crowd today, Joel. Yeah, you guys have done a lot of sitting, or there's been a lot of talking going on here. All right. So what was the question that Jesus asked? What do you think the question that Jesus asked? The winner gets my water bottle. All right, the question, it's found in Luke chapter 8, 40, verse 48. If you could turn your Bibles to there, I'm just going to pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are and that you're awesome and that you are present, Lord, with us. And we just pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord, and you know the things that we're facing, you know the things that are on our mind. And we've already prayed for those that we care for, that we love, and Lord, that you would just impact this valley this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question I'm going to unpack this morning is, who touched me? All right? This is about a woman and the greatest encounter that she ever had. Luke chapter 8, 40 verses 48, you could follow along on the screen with me. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him, and there came a man named Jairus. All right, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored them to come to his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And as Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. And now she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your father has made you well. Or daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Do we have the faith to believe that if we could just touch the hem of Jesus' garments, we will be healed? Do we have the faith to believe that if we could just touch the hem of his garment, we would be healed? This morning, I'm going to ask you three questions. The first one is, what are you desperate for this morning? What are you desperate for this morning? I just want you to kind of think about those things. What are you desperate for? What's maybe something that needs changing? What's something that needs some more thought into? You know, verse 43, it says, there is a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Could you imagine facing something, going through something for 12 years? And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. Now, the passage of the scripture has two encounters, and they're so different, right? We have a man, Jairus, and whose daughter is dying, and then this woman who has had this difficult situation for the last 12 years. They are both in desperate need of a miracle. It all starts with Jairus, right? A ruler of the synagogue falling at Jesus' feet for help. Now, the ruler of the synagogue was usually a layman whose responsibilities were administrative, looked after the building, supervised the worship. This man was important to the eyes of the people. But the key was, Jairus was in full-out crisis mode. I know some of you here, or a part of our church family, are in a crisis mode. And God wants you to know this morning that you are not alone. This man's 12-year-old daughter was dying. And first of all, what would you do if something was happening to your child that you had no control over? What are some things that you would do if something happened to your daughter and you had no control over? Pray. What else? Pray more. What else? You would do anything that you could to help your daughter, wouldn't you? I'd be praying like crazy. Maybe you've been put in that spot before. I couldn't imagine. Jairus was desperate for help, and he realizes that Jesus was there. Jesus was the answer. And guess what? We also have access to Jesus. We have access to Jesus. Doesn't that make you joyful this morning? Doesn't that give you joy? Doesn't that give you peace? Whatever you're facing, that we don't have to do these things alone. Doesn't that give you joy this morning? As Jesus was going, a woman came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, and instantly, what happened? She was healed. Her blood ceased. What made her touch his garment? What made her think of just touching his garment? She didn't yell at him. She just touched his garment. Why? She was desperate. You're paying attention. That's good. You're awesome. Desperation, faith. She didn't want to be noticed. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Peter says, of course, Peter, right? "The crowd is pressed upon you, of course. Like you're walking side by side. You're going to, you know, people want your attention." Jesus felt power release from him. But Jesus was adamant to know who touched his garment. Why? This lady was desperate, just like Jairus was desperate. And both shared different ways of showing this desperation. Here, the context of this woman, she was struggling, right? She was struggling. She tried everything. She spent her whole finances on physicians, medicines, get-well remedies. She had all the essential oils. She had the best infusers that money could buy. Speaking of essential oils, if you ever say, "Hey, Trevor, if you want to come over, you bring your family or whatever," please don't put on the mint stuff, okay? That stuff, ugh. Not a huge fan. She had a lot going against her. She's supposed to be an outcast. She's She wasn't supposed to be noticed. How many of you have ever felt that before? That you just don't belong? That you know, I don't know if people like me. How that doesn't make us feel very good, does it? It makes us feel pretty low. But to touch the hem of the garment, she must have been low by everyone's feet. Have you ever been desperate for something? Who's ever been desperate for something? Desperate.
We all have.
Yes, we all have. That's right. Preach a sister. We've all been desperate for something. Food, water, truth. More of Jesus? I remember I just got married and I was already, you know, I haven't been, you know, haven't had like, you know, skinny abs, you know, my whole life type idea. And I remember, they're just hidden. Where are you? I hit a milestone today. My wife and I, this is our 18th anniversary. I know it's not real unless you put it on Facebook, and I haven't put it on Facebook yet. But, you know, I'm excited because 18 years to me, that's a big deal. You know, I think that's great, and I'm very, you know, that's one of the best decisions that I've ever made. Of course, the best decision is knowing Jesus. But I'm thankful she said yes. And that was a no-brainer decision on my part. So on this 18th anniversary, I'm in church, and my wife is working shift work. So if you're at the hospital the next whatever day or two, just go over there and say, hey, happy anniversary, whatever, or appreciate you, whatever. Anyways, I'm kind of going on a rabbit trail a little bit, but I love my wife, and I want to talk about her, right, at times. When I got married, yeah, I wanted to be a little bit skinnier. I wanted to be a little bit more fit. I wanted to impress her a little bit. And I remember a commercial, an infomercial. Who's ever watched infomercials? Man, they're like, that is the best thing ever created, right? Has anybody ever felt that before? That is the best thing that's ever created. And I remember seeing this infomercial that changed my life for that minute. All right? It was the Ab Master, right? The Ab Master. Who ever bought the Ab Master? Be honest.
Yeah, we all have.
Okay, we all have. So the Ab Master was a great idea. It was a great idea. The premise was amazing because you could actually lose weight while you could be sitting on the couch. Come on now. I was like, this is amazing. This is amazing. If I eat chips and have this Ab Master on me that's contracting my stomach muscles, me losing weight, then it would go kind of, you know, together. Well, I wasn't really thinking that, but it, in my mind, right? So having something like this, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have to be working out all the time or like, you know, like that would be something that could help, right? And so when this infomercial from heaven came on TV, right? The Ab Master. I was thinking, wow, this could be pretty awesome. And I remember, I usually don't buy stupid stuff, and I thought this was pretty amazing, so I bought it. And I was desperate for easy results. I was desperate for a change. I was desperate to hey, maybe my wife will think I'm a little bit better looking, which I do need help in that area, right? And I wanted to, you know, spend less time lifting weights and doing those things and more time with my new wife. Guess what? It didn't work. So we decided that we would take that item back. And have you ever seen, like, stores? I always look at, like, the open box items. Well, there was lots of those open box items, Ab Masters. I got refunded, and you could probably still buy that in the store. What are you trusting in this morning? What's your trust in this morning? What's your trust in this morning? Is it your spouse? Is it yourself? Is it your friends? You know, for 12 years, this lady spent her life savings on trying to get better. The money she spent on these remedies, the health care, essential oils, best infusers, she was outcasted, she was disliked, she was removed, but she desired to be accepted. She desired to feel a part of something special, just like you or I would. Could you imagine this woman's difficulty? Could you imagine the pain, the heartbrokenness, I don't even know if that's a word, the emotional pains? She felt worthless, humiliated, nobody liked her. Could you imagine? I want to ask you a question that came up while planning out this message. How would life look for you if you went to Jesus with your physical health, your mental health, your emotional pains, your family's dysfunction, your loneliness, your bitterness, and on and on and on? How would that look in life if we gave those things to God? I need to do this more. You know, I'm a guy. I like to figure things out. You know, I like to try to come up with all the answers. But I need to realize that I need help. The scripture shows the popularity of Jesus. This place is busy. She's heard of his miracles. She needs what Jesus can offer. She believes full-heartedly that he is the only option for a set-free life. He was the only option for a set-free life. She was willing to take risks to change her life. What risks are you willing to take? What obstacles are you willing to go through to see change in your life? Now, what does risk? Risk goes with what? Reward? What else?
Failure.
Risk of failure. You know, risk is hard work, right? It may be uncomfortable. We need to take that step of faith. Maybe you've recently been diagnosed with cancer, an illness. Maybe there's been something going on in your family, in your relationship at home. Maybe a close friend of yours has been diagnosed with something big. Have you ever just thought, even though that person may not know Jesus, I'm gonna pray for you. Have you ever done that before? And I get it. I get it. It could be nerve-wracking. I've had family. You know, my wife's father had cancer probably 7 or 8 times before it ended up taking his life. But I remember taking time to pray with my mother-in-law, and it wasn't easy. But I find with people, when they're going through things, they'll accept prayer. For the most part, they'll accept prayer. And I want to encourage you, if your friend or a family member that doesn't know Jesus, take that step of faith, right? Take that step of faith. Go for it. How about pray for your friends who are struggling? It might be awkward, but go for it. How about we take that step of faith, reach out and touch the hem of his garment and believe and give it all to Jesus? Do we have the faith to believe that if we just touch the hem of his garment, we would be healed? What are we going to do about it? Third question, what are we going to do about it? A coincidence, Jairus' daughter was 12 and the woman had this disease for or this illness for 12 years. This woman struggled with this debilitating illness for the same amount of time that the girl was alive. But for both her, for both instances, Jesus was the only option. Your situation this morning may not look very promising, but Jesus can help. Do I hear amen?
Amen.
And I know this message was based around the question, who touched me? But I also want to finish chapter 8. And I'm just about finished, and we could go home with our families. Verse 49 to 56, and you can follow along with me. While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed." Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed. When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except for Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled. Just imagine this, okay? Just imagine this. The house was filled with weeping. Weeping and wailing, it says. But what does Jesus say? Stop weeping! She isn't dead, she's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him and made fun of him because they all knew that she died. And Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. I love this part. If you have a daughter, you understand. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat, right? If you have a daughter, you know, hey, okay, she needs some food in her stomach, right? Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. Both these lives needed immediate attention. What needs of ours need that immediate attention? Sickness? Sin? Our family? Our faith? Jesus was aware of her, but he still asks, "Who touched me?" To single out a woman who tried to be anonymous and tried to go under the radar, he knew the power had gone out of him and he wanted to address this miracle. Jesus, just as Jesus was the bearer of the Spirit, he was the bearer of the power of God. He wanted to address the woman who showed great faith. See, when I was in these lineups to meet these players, I wanted to get, you know, photos and pictures and autographs and all that kind of stuff. I wanted a little bit of their time. But this woman just wanted to at least touch the hem of his garment. To change her life. This encounter radically changed her life for the best. If I encountered those players, it wouldn't have changed my life. It would have been like, "Oh, that's cool. I met so-and-so." The next day, no biggie. But for this woman and this girl, it changed their life forever. You know, in conclusion, in the book Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth, he states, before attempting to exercise faith for healing, one needs to know what scriptures plainly teach. That is just as much God's will to heal the body as it is to heal the soul. Bosworth also states that our attitude towards sickness should be the same attitude towards sin. Our purpose to have our body healed should be as definite as our purpose to have our soul healed. Our substitute bore both our sins and our sicknesses, that we might be delivered from them. Isaiah chapter 53. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. And I'm going to close in this. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. We've given opportunities already for people to come up to pray. What I'm going to do is I'm going to close the service. But if that's you this morning that just needs to come up, come forward, maybe something's impacted you by this message that God has placed on my heart, I want to encourage you today. That wouldn't today be just a great start for transformation? You know, if you have kids here today, you can go get them, unless you just want to like come to the altar, come just spend some time alone. If you'd like to receive prayer with someone, I could have maybe some of our leadership come forward again. But we want to give enough opportunity for God to do a great work in your life. And I believe full-heartedly he wants to do that in quite a few of your hearts this morning. So after I pray, if you feel that you need to go, if you could do that just quietly. If you want to talk, we've got the foyer out there, and I'm sure it's a beautiful day outside. You can head outside, but if we could just have this time just as a kind of a prayerful time. James, if you just want to come up here and just play a little bit more, we'll pay you double, okay, today? Let's just stand. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the people. Lord, we thank you for this family. As I think about church, I don't think about church per se. I think about a family. And I thank you for my family. Lord, it hurts my heart when somebody here is hurting. And I hope that's the case for us, that when we know of somebody in our family, that we'd be praying and we'd be thinking about them, we'd be encouraging them every step of the way. Lord, we thank you for this church. Lord, we thank you for this family. Lord, that you would bring us closer together. Lord, that you would give us more love for each other. Lord, that we could actually just not even just say that we're family, but actually believe and feel that there's a closeness here. Lord, we pray for those individuals that are hurting today. We pray for those individuals or those families that rough things are happening. We pray, Lord, for reconciliation. We pray, Lord, that you would do an amazing work, a miracle. Lord, you know the things that we're desperate for in our life. You know the things that we're desperate for our family, in our heart. Lord, you know the things. You know our sin. You know those things that we are weak in. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us. Lord, that we would be impacted by your words, that we would be impacted to strive to pursue you more. In our imperfectness, Lord, in my imperfectness, Lord, that you would speak life into those imperfectness, into that imperfectness. Ask you, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in our heart. If there's things that we need to deal with, if there's things that we need changing, Lord, that you would impress on our hearts. In Jesus' name. Feel free just to linger around. If you need to leave, feel free. If you could just do that quietly. If you need to come forward, we've got lots of room at the altar. We've got people that will pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.